Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Thanks for being here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. We're covering a lot of ground on the show, but the big story of the hour continues to be presidential fitness. Big story brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. So I wanted to mention this. The state of New Jersey is now putting out a warning about dengue fever. That's right, dengue fever. And the CDC is issuing an urgent warning as well. They say 41 travelers in New Jersey were infected across. And since the first half of the year, 9.7 million cases have been reported across North, Central, and South America, according to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. They've issued an urgent dengue fever warning after 41 travelers in New Jersey were sickened with the mosquito-transmitted virus. You know, if we brought back DDT, we could kill mosquitoes and we would not have to worry about things like dengue fever and malaria and Zika and all the other miserable, disgusting things that these mosquitoes do to us. Cases of dengue are currently at an all-time high across North, Central, and South America. And the 41 New Jersey residents were infected while traveling as of July 2nd. No cases of dengue have been locally transmitted in the state. Those travelers came from 15 different countries in New Jersey. I got to wonder how many people are bringing this stuff in as they cross the southern border illegally, too. I'm curious by that. I'm curious because they say these are travelers and maybe they are. I don't know. But meanwhile, Florida has seen 210 total cases of dengue fever this year, seven of which are reported to be locally transmitted. Most of these cases are reported in Miami-Dade County. So there you go. Maybe we'll have a dengue fever lockdown this fall we can all look forward to. That could be a lot of fun, huh? And Matt DeSantis, what is the story I see in Evernote regarding receipts?
Oh, the Wawa story?
The Wawa story.
It's sort of the most impressive and simultaneously the stupidest thing that's been on the show sheet in quite some time.
It really is. And the title alone is fantastic. Bless this American hero / psycho who spent years collecting every single Wawa sandwich receipt from 0 to 999. It took years. This guy, Tyler, has collected every single Wawa order slip number 0 through number 999, and it took him years. He had to go across the country to do this, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I would think. Who even thinks of this, though?
I don't know.
I've never looked at the number and thought, oh, wow, you know what? I wish I could collect all of them up to number 999.
Yeah. This guy has a lot of time on his hands, huh?
A lot of money as well.
But he might be set for life. As they point out, you know, the hawk to a girl, she seems to be set for life.
I saw a... It was a radio station, I forget where, offered her $20,000 to come work at the station for a single week.
For 1 week?
Yeah.
God, you got to work here for a whole year to get that kind of money.
I was going to say, that's my annual salary.
Yeah, at WPHT. Wow. And then there's the Philly chicken guy. Remember that guy?
Yeah, he was pretty good.
He ate a rotisserie chicken for 40 straight days. The Philly chicken man.
And then there was the cheeseball guy. Oh, wait, that was New York.
Yeah.
Still good.
Yeah, but the Philly chicken man still reigns supreme, at least for our city. But I guess Wawa, considering it's really the hometown team, I try to go wherever Dave Portnoy tells me to go to eat great pizza. His reviews are usually pretty good.
I think he's spot on. I'm pretty sure his highest reviewed pizza is Sally's in New Haven. I don't know if that's my favorite pizza, but it's definitely up there.
You know, there's an app you can download. There's a Barstool Pizza app. And if you're traveling, this helped us the other day. We were traveling back from the Adirondacks where they have just awful pizza. Although there is a food truck right outside the brewery up there, the Racket River Brewery, which is really good. And they make wood-fired pizza. But if you download this app, it shows you all the places where you're traveling or wherever you are where Portnoy's reviewed. So like right by the studio here, there's a couple places he's been. None of them get any impressive scores whatsoever. I think you have to go to Angelo's in Philly to get the... That's he gave that the best pizza in Philly.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think Tacanelli's is very good.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the rating he gave Angelo's. I think it was like a 9-something, which is a high. That's a high number right there.
I think he gave Tacanelli's in the 9s as well.
Did he really?
Yeah, and one of their specialty pizzas, I think he gave like a 9.5 or something insane. Not the cheese, so it didn't officially count, but it was one of the specialty pies.
Oh, wow. My favorite, though, is when he reviews terrible pizza. I always like that. To me, that's more fun. When he just reviews terrible pizza that is just awful and gives it like a 4, you know?
Yeah. There's even everyone always says it, but even bad pizza is still pretty good.
No, I agree. I no doubt about that.
I don't think I've ever had a pizza that I deemed inedible.
Well, you'd rather have pizza than not have pizza, right?
Yeah.
If you're just, you know, unless you're watching your carbs, in which case then you got to choose wisely.
Out of curiosity, what is Rich Zeoli's favorite pizza?
I don't know. That's a good question. I got to think about that. And who's willing to pay me for my endorsement?
I have a controversial pizza take.
Oh, God. I'm shocked.
Hesitant to
I'm shocked. We're all shocked by that, Matt DeSantis. What's your take?
I've only shared it out loud once, and I got a lot of grief for it.
Let me guess. Papa John's.
No. This is maybe worse. I don't think the pizza in Italy is as good as the pizza in New Haven or Boston or New York.
Where in Italy, though? Where?
I don't know. It was all kind of the same. It's just too doughy. I like a very crispy crust.
Yeah, but you're not going to the right places then, if that's what your review is. If you're going to like a local gas station in Italy.
Get gas station pizza.
Gas station pizza. I mean, that's not... Did you go to Naples? Did you have pizza in Napoli?
No, I did not.
Okay, so then you really should not be commenting on this right now.
I'm just saying. I had it in Rome. I had it in Florence. I had it in
terrible in Florence.
Malfi.
Terrible in Rome. You got to go to where the pizza is good in Italy. It's like anything else. It's like saying, oh, I had a cheesesteak in Pennsylvania, and it wasn't that good. Well, was it in Philly? No.
I didn't say it wasn't good. I just didn't think it was.
It was in Amish country. Stop.
I'm sure the Amish have delicious cheesesteaks. But look, I didn't.
You know what Portnoy gave the pizza at Lincoln Financial Field?
What's that?
1.2.
Ew.
At the Link,
yeah,
1.2.
I don't think the Link's food's that good.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Kind of.
But no, I just didn't think it was.
At least we're not banned from the Link or anywhere else.
Why? Is that a thing that could happen?
No, not at all. Tacanelli's got an 8.1. No. Certainly not. Moving right along.
Let's go to another topic.
Let's go to pick a random other topic to talk about. Let's see here. How about this? How about today we go to this clip from psycho nutjob Cori Bush, who says Biden is totally fine and any questions about his cognitive decline are products of a vast, as you can imagine, take a listen.
Congresswoman, can you describe the temperature in the room?
Biden right now.
Right now, the same right-wing influences that are trying to take me down are trying to take down President Biden. So that's where my head is. But I'm listening to my colleagues and I'm listening to my constituents.
At the end of the day, we got to beat back these right-wing influences.
We got to beat back right-wing influencers. It's all us. We're making this all up. Biden's totally fine, obviously.
Didn't she also claim that she cured someone of cancer?
She did. And I think, isn't she invisible or something, too?
No, that was her bodyguard.
Oh, okay. Speaking of NATO, that's right. That guy was a tantra love guru or something who was also invisible.
I thought he was a wizard.
And a wizard. I think he was all the above.
He could create hurricanes. I remember that.
But still not banned from the Link or Citizens Bank Park or any other. NATO, just so you know, they're talking about the NATO numbers right now. We'll break that down for you tomorrow. But they're spending a lot of money on the Stinger missiles and the price is going up as NATO members are targeting the spending. And the United States of America is still giving all the other NATO members a pass in funding the never-ending war in Ukraine. Here is Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who stopped by The View today to express how she absolutely is the same. She supports Joe Biden. She loves Joe Biden. She's doing what Kamala Harris is doing as well, which is that they have to play the game and pretend like they all support Joe Biden. that New York Times piece that goes on about all the people that could potentially be her running mate makes it clear that allies close to the Biden-Harris team, and you know it's all the Harris people who are going out there and trying to shiv Joe Biden because she wants a top job. But Whitmer, Newsom, whoever else, they're all trying to play the game and pretend like they're all good little boys and girls. They're on Team Joe, hoping that maybe, maybe, just maybe, he'll give them the nod. So here's Whitmer saying that in private, Joe Biden is absolutely the same. What are you worried about? Come on.
And you were among the governors who met with Biden at the White House in the wake of all of this. Now, is the Joe Biden you met with the same Joe Biden on that debate stage? Tell us.
No, he's the Joe Biden we've all seen working his tail off for decades to serve the public. He is, I think he had an opportunity to get a little bit of rest, and I mean, he's back at it. You can see he's keeping up a very aggressive schedule. He's going to be in Michigan later this week. He has been doing rallies. I mean, he is absolutely the same Joe Biden we all have known. I think we all have our bad moments, and certainly he's the first to admit that that was not the best performance at the debate, but nonetheless, he has been doing this job, and he's showing up with receipts for the American public. He has delivered more for our country, more for the average person who's just trying to get ahead.
So
the presence we've seen in a long time.
But he has to show the country, not just the Democrats and the party. He has to show America.
Right. And he's with NATO this week. He's got, you know, all these different events that are happening. So we're seeing he's keeping up a heck of a schedule. He went to Europe back and forth twice in 1 week. I'm 52.
Whoa.
And I need that change book you got there.
But, you shall have it.
You know, that's a brutal schedule. He's keeping it up. So I think that, you know, we're going to see him have this incredible rigor to his schedule, and he's going to show up and he's going to talk about what he's done and what the future looks like. And I think that's what Americans want, deserve, and need to see from our president.
Well, oh, I tell you, she's playing the game. This reminds me of that scene in Animal House where they all go, she's lying, of course, obviously, but that's the game. You got to play the game if you want to be the pick. She was also asked a question, would she support Vice President Harris if Joe Biden were to step aside? Gee, I wonder what she would say to that. Take a listen.
So you mentioned the vice president. You've been clear you would not want to replace Joe Biden were he to step aside. Do you think if he were, should it be Vice President Harris that replaces him?
She's vice president for a reason. And so I think that that would be the natural conclusion, and I would be eager to support her as well.
She doesn't sound very happy about it, though, however. Doesn't sound happy in the least. But she has to say all this. This is what you have to do. You got to play the game. I've told you this before. This is a game right now. We're all being gaslit by these people. They have no intention of really keeping Joe Biden in this race, despite the fact that Dr. Jill Biden, and you always have to say that by law, of course, Dr. Jill Biden is saying he's going to stay in the race. This is the game here you got to play. But the one guy who's saying the truth is James Carville, and the other guy saying the truth is David Axelrod. They know this. They know he's going to lose. And they just can't risk giving Donald Trump another 4 years. They can't. They can't do it. Now, here's CNN's political director, David Chalian, sounding the alarm over what would it mean for the Democrat Party should Joe Biden later choose to continue as the nominee. And it's bad. I mean, it's getting worse for Biden every day. I'm telling you right now, it's only going to continue to get worse, but that's the point. Joe Biden, the reason why they did this debate in June was to set him up so that he'd have to leave the race because Joe Biden was losing before the debate and Joe Biden's going to lose after the debate, period. But CNN's freaking out right now, and they should be, but they helped take Biden out. They were complicit in this. And somebody made the comment earlier, caller, about how the lighting on Biden during that debate was terrible. Made him look very whitewashed and very old. And yeah, it did. True. It absolutely did. CNN was part of it. I truly believe that. CNN had a job to do, and that was to help take Joe Biden out that night. But really, you got to ask, why did the Biden people put him on that debate stage? Why would you do that, knowing what the outcome was going to be? But here's CNN's political director, Cut 14.
Right now, what is the shape and the contour of this race?
So this was one of the things that grew out of the Stephanopoulos interview on Friday, which is that Joe Biden just was not conceding an inch to the reality of the state of his campaign as it exists now. So if you look at our poll of polls, this is an average of national polls pre and post debate. Pre debate, Donald Trump had a 2-point edge in a poll of polls, an average of national polls, 49% to 47%. That's a pretty close race. Mm-hmm. You see post debate, Donald Trump has stayed the same. He didn't grow his support with the debate. But Joe Biden took on some water. He is down to 44%, and that's a 5-point lead in the poll of polls for Donald Trump. So to say that the debate had no impact, I don't think is reflected by a totality of the polls. Also, if you look at the electoral map, guys, and the road to 270, it's only going to get more complicated. Look here. This is our latest assessment of the races. The yellow are the true battlegrounds. You have some leaning red states that are clearly heavily contested states as well, like Georgia, North Carolina, Nevada, Michigan. But we are now talking about the light blue states, perhaps Minnesota, Virginia, New Mexico, that are leaning Democratic now. They may be coming online as more competitive in this moment. We need to see how true that is. If that happens, that means more resources that Biden has to spend in a greater number of states than he's currently spending. If the map expands against him, that's not a position of strength heading into this fall campaign.
No, it's not. And by the way, some breaking news. Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill of New Jersey, she represents the North Jersey part of the state in the House of Representatives. She just came out and said Biden should step aside. She said, quote, "I know that President Biden and his team have been true public servants and have put the country and the best interests of democracy first and foremost in their considerations. And because I know President Biden cares deeply about the future of our country, I am asking that he declare that he won't run for re-election and will help lead us through a process toward a new nominee." Congressman Andy Kim, who is running for the United States Senate seat in New Jersey, he is now expressing concerns about Joe Biden as well. I'm telling you, the dam is breaking here. It's breaking. Representative Andy Kim, Democrat of Moorestown, New Jersey, the Democrat nominee for the United States Senate, said he has concerns about Joe Biden's ability to remain atop the Democratic ticket. He said, "I have concerns. If Biden's team wants to rebut some of what people are concerned about, that's on them. But dismissing it would not be right. People have concerns. I mean, this is the presidency of the United States, so I think it's important to be upfront and honest about where things are." He said he's still thinking things through and declined to make any definitive proclamations, but he did indicate he was open to discussions about replacing Biden with another nominee. He said, quote, "The question is, can Biden win? And is there somebody who can potentially be stronger? That's what I'm digging in on right now and trying to think through." Now, he's running statewide in New Jersey, which theoretically should be a state that Democrats win easily. But I told you there was a poll that came out right before I went on vacation showing Donald Trump and Joe Biden are statistically tied in New Jersey. I don't know if Trump's going to win New Jersey, but I say nothing's out of the question in this political cycle, especially with this cadaver on the top of the ticket for the Democrats. But unfortunately for Andy Kim, as I've mentioned to you, they don't have a replacement who beats Donald Trump. They just don't. That doesn't mean they're not going to try, but they don't have one who can beat Donald Trump. Here's CNN's political director saying that Trump is winning independents by 10%. So where does that leave Joe Biden right now? Cut 15.
As we've seen, the Electoral College adds a dynamic to those polls that isn't fully representative in those numbers. I am curious, though, where do independents land?
So I am fascinated by this because obviously independents are still big, big factors in the outcome of presidential elections. You remember in 2016, Trump bested Clinton with independents by a bit. He won that election. 4 years ago, Biden won independents by 13 percentage points against Donald Trump. Look at the independent tracker of CNN polling alone over the last year. So back a year ago, last August, we actually had Biden, the blue line there on the left of the screen, up against Trump by like 9 points or so among independents, okay? And then you saw, as we continued to pull this race, you saw in November that crossed. Trump has led with independents and never gave up the lead. And if you look at the April line versus the now line, this is pre-debate versus post-debate, both of them ticked down a little bit in their support with independents, but Donald Trump's lead has maintained. He's now got a 10 percentage point lead in our polling among independents in this race. That's a huge warning sign to any campaign, which is why Joe Biden is finding himself in the position he's in right now, which is that he may be successful at pushing back on this effort to get him to lead the race. The question becomes, so where does that leave him and the Democratic Party? All the data suggests at the moment he's in a weakened position in this race, maintaining a top of the ticket than he was clearly a year ago, but even you could argue more recently.
Not good, because independents are, well, that's the money right there. I mean, that's what you're going for. You're going for independent voters. You're trying to win them over. But Biden did make a great point in MSNBC, which is you could all die tomorrow. I mean, I personally think that's the best way to make everybody feel better, is reminding them, look, you could die. So, you know, just remember, death could come for you, too. Cut 16.
Okay. How can you assure the American people that you won't have another night like the one you did in Atlanta?
Look at my career. I've not had many of those nights. It was a terrible night, and I really regret it happened. But the fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be on you know, faith that can intervene on your way to go to, you know, work tomorrow?
Yeah. So how do you know you're not going to be dead? Maybe the Grim Reaper's standing over you tonight. How do you know? So there you go. I feel better. How about you? Any concerns you had are gone right now as Biden reminds you of your impending demise. Job well done. All right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Listen, my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding are the absolute best in the business. And, you know, they've done so much great work over my home, at my home over the years, from our old house to our new house. And I'm so thrilled with their level of honesty and their commitment to getting the job done right, on time, and on budget. They are my go-to contractor, and they should be yours as well. Your one-stop shop. And when you use Emmons, your home will not only look stunning from the curb, but will also be energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements. And with Emmons, you know you're getting top quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. So, whether it's a durable, lifetime warranted Owens Corning roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, or new windows that blend functionality with style, Emmons has you covered. And because Stephanie and Matt know that times are tough for many people, they're offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacement. So don't wait. Call Emmons today at 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677, or check out their website at emmonsroofing.com. Upgrade your home with confidence today, and they serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. So trust the people that I have trusted with my home for 7 years now, working on the roof, windows, doors, you name it. Emmons has done it for me, and they'll do a great job for you. emmonsroofing.com.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Newman Price, Matt DeSantis, excuse me, sent the clip of Dr. News Officer by Law, Jill Biden, and the music she made the Marine Corps band play for her, our own personal First Lady song. This is not a parody. It's not a bit. She really did this. And this is how it sounded, and it's as bad as you'd expect it to sound. Take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden, accompanied by the Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, and the 2020 and 2021 National Teachers of the Year, Tabitha Rosproy and Juliana Ertube.
Newman's point was we should use those trumpets for King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal ruggedness.
I can piece that together.
It's possible. We could change it up once in a while, right? I'm also being told by Jacques Gary that Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia is a windmill guy. Is that true?
I don't know enough.
I don't really follow him closely. I don't live in Virginia. I don't really have a need to pay close attention to what he does. So I'm not sure about that. But if that's the case, then yeah, he's dead to me. Dead to me.
I know he's a big proponent of school choice.
Yeah, that was why we got elected, right? And that was his whole thing, was running on the platform of education and getting parents more involved and fighting the indoctrination and the woke indoctrination of schools. I mean, all that stuff was great. And he won because of that. I don't know. I'm trying to I don't want to it's hard to speculate on who Trump's going to pick, because Trump, you know, he's going to do whatever the hell he wants. And he might change his mind 8 times between when he winds up making the choice. You know, they when he picked Pence, he was not going to pick Pence originally. And that was a whole thing with that. So we'll see. Question of where things go for Donald Trump now with regards to Jack Smith. So, you know, we have on from time to time our friends over at the Heritage Foundation, and we, one of the great guys we have is Zach Smith, no relation to Jack Smith. Zach is part of the Heritage Foundation, the Edwin R. Meese Center. There's another great guy who was an attorney general, and that's Mukasey. And he wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal about this recently. And he talks about how Jack Smith does not pass the smell test for being a special prosecutor. And he says the Constitution's Appointments Clause limits how executive offices can be created and how they may be filled. Oh, Joe from Columbus has a question, Matt DeSantis. Let's see if we can take. Yes, Joe.
Rich, I didn't see the footage on that majestic music there, but were the Oompa Loompas prancing across the stage?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know. Let's play it again. Let's see if we see any Oompa Loompas in the video.
I'm trying to vision it, brother.
Yeah, that's a great
Ladies
point.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right, Joe.
The First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden, accompanied by the Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, and the 2020 and 2021 National Teachers of the Year, Tabitha Rosproy and Juliana Ertube.
I can see the Oompa Loompas coming in. Maybe juggling. Maybe juggling while they're walking through. Shooting like those cannon guns of bubblegum at people or t-shirts. This should be actually the theme song for the Philly Fanatic. I think he would like it.
Oh, there's Augustus Gloop.
There's Augustus. Augustus!
That's wild.
So the Constitution's Appointments Clause, the Constitution eliminated the power by giving Congress the authority to create offices or to authorize their creation in specific instances and requiring the advice and consent of the Senate before the president could fill certain offices. It empowers the president to nominate and appoint officers of the United States, not specifically provided for in the Constitution, only with the advice and consent of the Senate, and only to offices which shall be established by law. The Appointments Clause does allow for the appointment of officers by the president, a court, or the head of a department, such as the Attorney General, but again, only when such appointment is permitted by law. Authority for appointment, and therefore the authority of the current special counsel, doesn't exist by law, but rather through a set of regulations put in place unilaterally by United States Attorney General Janet Reno of Waco in 1999. They don't have the force of a law passed by Congress and signed by the president, and they can be changed at any time by any attorney general. While concurring in the majority opinion on the issue of presidential immunity, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote separately to raise the question of whether any law has created the office of special counsel. He noted that Jack Smith was appointed by the attorney general and that Jack Smith relies not on one, but on 4 statutes as authorizing the office of special counsel. Justice Thomas notes that none of them refer specifically to creating such an office, that 2 are generic provisions concerning the functions of the attorney general. A 3rd refers to the duties of an attorney specifically appointed by the attorney general under law, which suggests an attorney already appointed under some other law. And a 4th that refers to appointment of officials to detect and prosecute crimes and appears in a chapter that creates the FBI, not one that creates prosecutors' offices. Therefore, Justice Thomas reasons that if Congress had not reached a consensus that a particular office should exist, the executive, in the person of the Attorney General, lacks the power to create and fill an office of his own accord, and urges that the lower courts should answer these essential questions concerning the special counsel's appointment before proceeding. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon of Florida, where the prosecution of Trump for unlawful handling of classified documents is pending, has already heard arguments relating to both the creation of the special counsel's office and Mr. Smith's appointment. If Congress had wished to allow the Attorney General to create an office of special prosecutor, it would have done so within a statute as simple and direct as those that give the power to create offices to other cabinet secretaries, including the secretaries of transportation, agriculture, health, and human services and education. It wouldn't have relied on the four statutes that are all kind of cobbled together. Now, I think it's very powerful that Justice Thomas made this point because it does give some fuel to Judge Eileen Cannon. And McKasey concludes by saying the following: Jack Smith has not passed the test, and with his record of having lost cases both at trial, on appeal, and on because of his overarching approach to criminal law, this is not going to stand. At a minimum, these prosecutions should be handled by a duly appointed and confirmed United States attorney who has been before the Senate for confirmation. Two callers said that those trumpets playing sounded like the intro to the TV show F Troop. Very good. We also had a throwback to Tarzan today. Did we ever pull the audio of what that cheetah sounded like, Matt DeSantis?
I actually forgot about it. It was on my to-do list, and I got bogged down.
Well, we had a lot going on today. It was probably more pressing of you to pull clips of Karine Jean-Pierre in the White House press briefing, so job well done.
Thank you. I'll take the compliment. That's the second time I've been complimented today.
Don't want to get to your head.
Well, it doesn't happen often.
It's been a long, long, long day for all of us.
Oh, I'm keeping count. That's two.
A long day.
I think if I get a third one, I get a bonus or something, right?
No, you get to spend some time alone with Janet Yellen.
I don't want that.
You get to have lunch with her.
Ooh, mushroom soup.
Mushroom soup.
Delicious.
Psychedelic mushroom soup from America's grandmother / serial killer. Well, she's not a serial killer per se. Maybe not. I don't know. But she does sound like one, and that's Buffalo Bill, of course, from Silence of the Lambs. She was asked a question of whether or not Biden's cabinet has discussed invoking the 25th Amendment. This is what she said.
When was the last time you met with President Biden in person?
I meet with President Biden over a wide range of issues, the economy. China,
when was the last Russia. Time you met with him in person?
I'm not going to comment on my meetings with the president. Those are private.
Well, as a cabinet secretary, have you noticed any mental or cognitive decline in any of these meetings?
The president is extremely effective in the meetings that I've been in with him. That includes many international meetings that are multi-hour, like his meetings with President Xi. I've met with him, with other leaders who are in.
So are you testifying that you have not seen any mental or cognitive decline?
Mr. Chairman, point of inquiry. She's not a physician.
She's a member of the
She's
cabinet.
Not. You're asking her a medical question.
Let's keep the comments to the subject.
It's not a medical question. It's her interpretation as a member of the cabinet.
I move to have those words taken down. She is not a physician.
How do you know?
Please not go between the witness and the committee. Okay. Mr. Lawler, she's answered the question. Let's move on. You're recognized for the balance of your time.
Thank
How
you,
do we
Chairman.
Know she's not a physician, Matt DeSantis? We don't
Madam
know
Secretary,
that.
Secretary, have there been any discussions among cabinet secretaries about invoking the 25th Amendment?
No.
Okay.
No. No. And if there were, I wouldn't tell you. Obviously, she's not going to tell anybody that. See, now we need Henry now to be able to do the impression, because I don't think you can do the impression. Can you, Matt DeSantis?
I cannot do the impression. I do have this, though.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Just for the record, Buffalo Bill is not a medical doctor either. Nor is he the Secretary of the Treasury. He just sounds a lot like the Secretary of the Treasury. And he's also dead because he was shot to death by Clarice Starling. For the record.
Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers.
I'm sorry, but the movie is 75 years old now at this point. If you haven't seen it yet, that's on you.
Do you have to ruin every movie that you mention?
All right, we got to take a quick break, but we're coming back. There's more breaking news everywhere, as you can imagine, so don't go away.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
We're going to be live in Milwaukee next week for the Republican National Convention. I imagine at some point, maybe next week, Trump will name his running mate. I don't know. But we shall see. I'm going to try to get on Special Report with Brett Baer. You know why? Because Ryan Tillman, who was the booker for America's Newsroom, is now the booker for that show, Matt DeSantis. So that's the next show I need to get on Fox News as I continue my domination of that network.
Just trying to get on every show?
Yeah, why not?
It's an interesting ambition.
It's an interesting strategy, right?
Maybe you'll get your own show.
That'd be nice. Be nice. Somebody has to die first, though. So who am I going to kill?
You're very good on Jimmy's program.
I could kill him. Be easy. Just feed him bourbon all night.
We like Jimmy.
We do love Jimmy. We do. He's the best. He's the man. I'll be back on his show on July 27th. So mark your set your DVRs, to quote Sean Hannity. Set your DVR. So Trump does. I mean, he told Hannity last night, we didn't have to replay the clip, but Trump did tell Hannity he thinks that Biden's going to drop out. I mean, that's what I got from that. Did you get the same sense?
And he said that, yeah, he said that he thought Kamala was ultimately going to be the candidate. So yeah, that would require a dropout.
I mean, he beats Kamala Harris, no doubt about it. The polling is atrocious for her. Atrocious. Go ahead.
I was going to say, she might be the only person on the planet that's less likable than Joe Biden, according to the polls.
It's very possible. I mean, seriously, it really is. It's very possible. She's just that hated and disgraceful. Oof, I'm telling you.
I saw Daily Wire just released a new documentary called Scamala.
Yeah.
I believe. I do want to watch that.
Yeah, I want to watch that too, actually. And I think Ben Shapiro's behind that, right?
I think so. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I could kill him.
He's not on Fox. He's on Daily Wire.
That's true. I don't need to kill him then. All right, Ben, today's your lucky day. You get to live. You live another day, Shapiro. Well, all right. So the great one, Mark Levin, is up next. And I'll tell you, we're going to continue watching. Trump's about to speak in Florida. He's had a big rally there. There's a lot of speculation around Marco Rubio. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see him picking Rubio. I don't know. I hope he doesn't. Rubio's a little too globalist, warmongery for me, but I don't know. I don't know if it really helps him. And you're going to get Florida anyway, so again, I don't know if it really brings much, but we'll see. That's certainly a name on the short list, no doubt about it. Then you run into the other problem, which is that it's two guys from Florida, so that means Rubio has to resign from the Senate. DeSantis would pick his replacement. It becomes a little complicated, but we shall see. Rubio did say he rearranged his schedule to be at the rally tonight in Florida, where the former and future president is expected to take the stage momentarily. I just saw Eric Trump was warming up the crowd in Florida, and they're fired up. Florida's not even a toss-up state anymore. It's not a swing state. It's a solid red state, no doubt about that. Pennsylvania's going to be the ball game, and that's why there's a lot of speculation that should Joe Biden step aside and Kamala Harris becomes a nominee, she would pick the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, to be her running mate. I don't particularly think that really helps him much in Pennsylvania, to be honest with you. It helps her much in Pennsylvania. I don't think Shapiro's that well-liked. I mean, he won the last election, but that doesn't mean he would carry the state for the Democrats just because he's governor. I don't see that. I don't see how that helps, but that's me. All right, have a great rest of your night tonight. Thank you for listening to the show. Please keep the conversation going and follow along on social media at Rich Scioli, Instagram at Scioli Show. Thank you.
Rich Scioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.